Good morning, church. I want to take this time to thank the ladies' ministry for the Father's Day at in Malacca itself. We have beautiful kuihs. It was so good that I only eat one piece. But we thank you because it was lovely. It's a well-thought gift that me and my family can share as one. So just last Sunday, we celebrated Father's Day. And do you know what are the perks of being a father? You get to see your son following your footsteps. You get to pass down all your hobbies and favorite activities so that your son can play with you in the future. And that's a picture of me playing with Gabriel when he was much younger. Nowadays, I cannot take picture of him today because he's too fast for me. And as a father, I'm able to teach him to kick a soccer ball properly and always pass back to the center. I mean, that's where I am, so that I will not run and chase after the ball, you know what I mean? Or to bounce a basketball and try to steal each other's basketball when we are bouncing each other. Or board games and card games like Monopoly and Monopoly Deals. And exploding kittens as well. But I don't know why I always lose to him. Yeah, maybe luck was just on his side when we play. Or even Chinese and international chess are some of the games we play together. Or rather, I try to pass down this passion and traditions that we can play together in the long run. And if you think about it, all of us imitate those who are closest to us, isn't it? We follow their mannerism, their thought patterns, their values and their beliefs, and their what they aspire to be in the long run in the future. And I hope that my son does not follow the bad choices or bad habits I have, but the good and godly stuff only. And likewise, here is Paul, the apostle, whom is the author of the pastoral and personal letter, next slide, writing to his young protege, Paul, Timothy. The purpose of this letter is just very straightforward. It's to encourage the young Timothy to stay focused on the Lord and God's given ministry, to give him an example to follow, to give him a role model to emulate. And many scholars will agree that actually Timothy is a very young pastor to his church at that time, and most likely he's around 30 years old. So it's legit, actually, for Paul, as a wiser mentor, to give advice on life and ministry to him. And today is Youth Sunday. And I thought that this text is both good for both the young and the slightly older in our midst, to consider one's own life and spirituality, regardless of age, to measure it against Scripture. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we pray and ask that will you speak to us through your living word, that we will not just know your word, but we will know you and to live a life worthy of your calling. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Next. The first point is setting an example for others to follow. What is the kind of church that Paul, or rather the young Timothy, is pastoring? It is a church that is filled with a few issues. For example, one, the spiritual authority. And second, false teachings among the church itself. And just imagine with me, if you are only at 30 years old, and you are supposed to grow in your church, and you are supposed to lead a church, your congregation may not take you seriously at all. They will be thinking, who is this young chap trying to teach the word of God in church? Does he have the right qualification to lead the church as one? Does Timothy has the spiritual authority and maturity to really teach the word faithfully to the church in midst of many false teachers who are teaching half-truth to the congregation? According to Paul the Apostle, Timothy has all the credentials that he needs to lead the church. And you might be thinking, how is it even possible, right? A 30-year-old man, a young man, to lead the church as a whole. In spite of Timothy's young age, Paul called him to live a godly life so that no one can despise of his youth and his spirituality. Anyway, to be honest, Paul is trying to say that age is just a number. Age is not the not the indicator of spirituality. Sometimes the young people in our midst can surprise us with their spirituality and what they can do with the gospel of Christ. And Paul exhorts the young protege to set an example for the believers, and there is actually five elements, five areas of life to be exact, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And it matters what you say and how you say it, and especially your tone. Especially when you are in a crisis, is it easy to say good and godly things? When you are in a good environment, it's easy, isn't it? But what happens when there's tough time and challenging moments? Will your speech still be full of grace and seasoned with salt? How about, are you consistent in your church, in your life, in your workplace? Or are you wearing a mask every other day? When you wear a working mask when you go to office, you can be a tyrant, but you at home, you wear a loving mask so that to show to your family that you are true lovers of them. And Paul went on to the next criteria, the next example. It matters in what you do. How do you conduct yourself? Whether in private or public spaces, are you the same person or are you totally different? Or are you just like the world? As a pastor, I heard of many corporate leaders' testimonies who are very different in their workplace and in church and in their family. And thirdly, it matters how you love, how you make others feel welcome and loved. Do we only love those who are lovable? Those who are our friends and our same kind as us? How about those who are unlovable in our midst? It's tough, it's challenging, isn't it? And what happens if they don't reciprocate that love to you? That's how God showed his love to us, actually. When we are so unlovable, we are sinners. Yet, he sent his son to die on the cross so that we can be reconciled back to God the Father. And it is with this love we are called to love with the power of God's love to the people around us. The love and the unlovable, both the same. Fourth, it matters how you live your faith. It doesn't matter whether your faith is big or small. Because in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said that, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move here to there, and you will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And all you need is a small faith and a huge God. That's what we are talking about when we talk about faith. So I remember this thing when I was in a polytechnic. It was just 2 years ago. Okay, nobody get it. Okay. I was preparing for a mission trip to Thailand with Crew Singapore. There was about 12 of us, 12 students on that trip, and each of us need to raise about 1,002 for that trip because it involved the air tickets, it involved staying there for 10 to 12 days, staying in our hotels and logistics as well. And as a team, we need to raise 12 times 1,200. But in the end, we only managed to raise 11 students times 1,200 in a sense. That means that one of my friends could not make it at all because he's unable to raise the full amount. And so one of my full-time staff, campus Christian staff, asked us to pray and commit to the Lord. So that Sunday, I prayed and I asked God, show me somebody that I can share this need to. At that time, I'm quite a shy boy, if you don't know. Now it's very different. I share this need to one couple who is getting married soon. So because they are getting married, because you know, married couples, they need to spend quite a lot of money on their wedding date, church wedding, dinner, honeymoon, house, and etc. So I actually didn't share anything about the exact amount that we need, which is $1,200. Maybe because I lack of faith in that sense, that they will give to me actually, but it just happened that we have a conversation. And their wedding is just next Saturday. And on the Sunday, the next Sunday, I was surprised to see them because they have not left for their honeymoon because they delayed their flight for a few days before they fly off. But they came up to me and they say that as a couple, they have prayed about it and they actually gave me a check of $1,200 to the exact amount. But at the moment, all this while, I'm not communicate how much I really need. But I only can praise God and thank God for it. I was a man of little faith back then, but God showed up in his own ways. Just like what Hudson Taylor says, that God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And lastly, purity. It matters in the purity of your heart. There's two ways of looking at it. One is sexual purity. Second is ministry integrity. Let me talk about sexual purity first. In the world that Paul and Timothy is living, it is full of ungodliness. Sexual purity is actually a very tough thing to do, to stay pure in the Lord. Because, to be honest, every household is doing one form of sexual acts, one way or another. And no one is spared in that time. If you have watched certain shows of the Roman Empire and all, actually that somewhat sounds the context, actually. That's how bad it is for them as a believer. And Paul encouraged his young Timothy, saying that, think about your life, think about your eyes, what are you looking at? Are you falling into the same trap as the world that is falling into? So a question for us, as especially our young people these days, how is your eyesight? What are you looking at daily? The social media content that you're facing each and every day, the internet that's so accessible. What are you doing in the middle of the night when everyone else is asleep, but you're still awake? But I don't just say to the youth, but I say to the gentlemen in our midst or the ladies in our midst, likewise, because sexual purity is a struggle for both the men and the females in our midst. Gone are the days that is a problem for the guys, but both genders are struggling with it. When we spend our time on social medias, does it lead us to sin in the Lord? It's a tough question that we need to ask ourselves today. Not because it's a youth Sunday, that's why we only just look at the youth, but also we look at the church as a whole. And secondly, ministry integrity. Paul exhorts the young Timothy, in his world of corruption, it's hard to be pure and let alone to grow in purity in his life and ministry. There should not be any form of biasness in his heart, especially in ministry. There must be ministry integrity as we minister to both the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the loved and the lovable, the loved ones and the unlovables in our midst. We cannot say that we choose to love the easy path, the easy people in our midst. Love is unconditional It's just as how God Himself loved us. And this leads us to PSPC example, isn't it? During the COVID season, PSPC, we have opened up our doors to shelter the rough sleepers in our midst. And I believe that we didn't do that to boost our own ego, isn't it? Or our own pride, or our own status, or glorify ourselves. But our intention is pure in the Lord, which is to serve the urban poor in our midst and to house the homeless. And take a look at these five areas of life. If you want to assess a pastor or any Christian leader in our midst, these will be the good five areas of life that you can look at. Whether you are young or you are old, if you want to have some personal goals for growing in your spirituality, this would also be your spiritual growth as well. Take a good look at these five areas. Think about it. What are you struggling with? It? What are you intend to grow in it as well? And the world that we are living in is looking at us, Christians, closely. They are looking at how we love one another. Next slide. How we treat one another. How we live our faith in God in our ministry, in our life, and in our workplace. In some sense, we are just like the workers in Ding Tai Fung. But we are not outside. We are inside. Inside, making the trying to perfect the Xiao Long Bao, to fold it properly, to make sure that the skin is thin enough, so that when we poke it a bit, the juice will come out, that kind. But we are the workers, you know. The world is looking into us, at us, as a church as well. It's not just individual, but how we love one another. Oh, by the way, this is not a paid advertisement. Both believers and actually non-Christians are looking closely at how we as a church treat one another, how we love one another in Christ. Next. Devoting to the word to teach others. So as a young pastor to the ministry he's called to, Timothy has to devote time and energy to the public reading of Scripture. And this is to exhort and to teach the church the word of God. It seems very straightforward, isn't it? All of us will say, hey, yeah, lah, that's the role of the pastor. What are you talking about? But the word of God has to be central in the pastor's private life before it's preached in a public sphere. The word of God has to minister to the pastor's heart before it ministers to the church as a whole. That's the role of a pastor. That's the role of any teaching leaders in our midst. The word of God must and should influence, shape, and challenge the pastor's heart before the word influence, shapes, challenge the hearer's hearts. That's the aim of public ministry. And just like what Howard Hendricks says, one of my favorite authors, he says that teaching that impacts is not head to head, but heart to heart. And in PSPC, we have been preaching through the Gospel of John. And if you were to take a closer look at Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus doesn't inform the mind with theological positions only, but Jesus speaks to the hearts of men directly. That's what we are aiming for. Heart transformation, not just mere informations. And likewise, in our midst, there are many teachers of God's word. May your teaching bring about heart transformation and not just mere head knowledge. Next slide, thanks. At young pastor's Timothy ordination service, Paul encouraged the young Timothy not to neglect God's given ministry or God's given gifts and to use his spiritually gifts wisely for the kingdom and for the glory of God. And for those of us who are young, talking about the PLH and the Yosh people, you are still at the age of exploring your spiritual gifts. Some of you already start to define it already. Try to use them more and more. Use them to serve this community and beyond, because that is our role. And spiritual gifts are useless unless you use them. So be proactive in using your spiritual gifts. For the PLH, do you remember that actually we did the spiritual gift test during the Good Friday retreat? Think about all this, all the gifts that God has given to you. Continue to use it, continue to refine it for His glory. And for those who are of us who are slightly older than the young people in our midst, use your God-given gift for the glory of God. To be honest, as a church, as like PSPC, we are comfortable in terms of our size numbers, but we need more and more manpower in all the ministry that we have. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need more PLH and Yosh mentors. We need more musicians and worship leaders in the worship team to continue to glorify God in our praises. And we need more people who can speak Mandarin to serve the Chinese ministry faithfully week after week. And of course, I can go on and on, right? There's an endless list in the sense. But you do know what we need as a church. We need you to take the first step to serve the Lord faithfully. Some of us are holding multiple portfolios. Stay there. Hang in there. Don't step out. Stay focused. But for those who have not been stepping up, maybe it's time to step up to serve the Lord. The grace that is given to us is for us to build up the church for the glory of God. So that at the end of the day, when we see God face to face in heaven, He can say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have used your gift well." Take church camp as an example. Each of the church camp committee members have a role to play, all uniquely playing to their strength. And they did it perfectly as well. It's a beautiful picture how every one of them use God's gift to serve His people. Like the camp commandant is leading, like the camp commandant using his gift to lead and to look into a lot of details. I don't know about you. It may look outside perfectly, right? If you are in the WhatsApp group, I tell you, GG. My phone never stopped ringing when we are at the 3 months before church camp. Every day there's something coming out. Don't believe, you ask Eldrin how much he has suffered as well. No, but he did it willingly. And the treasurer who looks into the accounts, the log look into the bus and the details of the logistics items that we need to bring, the programs that run perfectly. All of us think that it's flawless if you have been to church camp, right? But when I talk to Shireen about the program, she tell me she struggled quite a bit. But all of us didn't know that, right? She works very hard. And for publicity, registration, roomings, etc., I can go on the list. But everybody is using the God-given gifts for the glory of God, so that we can be serving one another effectively, and so that we can not just enjoy the church camp, but to grow in the Lord as we serve the Lord. Lastly, next point. In the last two verses, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, is to challenge the young Timothy to have this attitude. It's all in or nothing at all. Sound like Adidas, right? All in. Yeah. Because Paul understood that there is no in-between, there's no half-heartedness, there's no lukewarmness in following Christ, in pursuing God and His will. Paul encouraged Timothy to give his all, his life to the Lord, and putting forth his maximum effect. And by so doing, his progress in God would be evident for others to see. Have you ever wondered, for our own life, why our own progress in God, the five elements, in our speech, in our conduct, in our love, in our faith, and in our purity, why is it not evident at all? Have you ever considered that? Maybe our progress is not evident because we have not given fully of ourselves to the Lord to pursue Him and Him only. We have become passive in our following of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have compromised our walk in Him and with Him. And we have slowly stopped contenting the faith we believe in. We stopped following the, and we are slowly following the world unknowingly. That's the scary part. And Jesus warns us against this passive attitude in the parables of the talents, where the servants who did nothing was sharply rebuked by Him. And here is a quote by Donald Guthrie, and he says this about Timothy in his commentary. Timothy is to ensure that what most impresses other people is his true Christian development, not some lesser things such as brilliant of exposition or attractiveness of personality. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul said that, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. Yet I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul knew that spiritual growth didn't just happen like that, with a snap. But it is the gift of God, and it is given to all who pursue it actively. And the purpose of pursuing God with all that you have and keeping Jesus' teaching at the center of your life, of your family, and your ministry is to save both yourself and your hearers. It's not just about our own life as only at stake. Without following Christ's teaching closely, one as a shepherd or as a leader may lead the sheep astray and away from the Lord, and unwillingly, the leader himself has wandered away from the Lord. Last slide, I think, second last. In one of the classic movies, The Pursuit of Happiness, how many of us have watched it before? You must be not a youth, okay? Will Smith, or Chris, his screen name, act as a homeless salesman, invests his entire saving on portable bone density scanners. He demonstrates and pitches these scanners to everybody, to the hospitals and all, as a handy improvement over standard x-rays. And these scanners actually play a vital role in Chris' life. While he's able to sell most of them, but the time lag between the sale and his growing financial demands actually frustrates his wife, Linda, who works as a hotel maid. The economy instability increasingly erodes the relationship and the marriage, despite their need to care for their Christopher Jr., who is their five-year-old son. In the process of pursuing happiness, he went through tough times. He sacrificed a lot, in one sense, which includes actually staying overnight in a toilet, in a subway toilet, going to jail due to his parking fines, and having his wife leaving him. But the hard times didn't dampen his passion to pursue a better life, to pursue the happiness that he wants for himself and for his son. Eventually, he went on to interview as a stockbroker, whereby he succeeded and got a broker position at the end of the day. He studied hard, he sacrificed all his free time to be with his son, and he gave his all, and he sacrificed much in his lowly position. And he didn't tell anyone about it. He labored hard to pursue happiness, not just for himself, but for his son as well. Next. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the challenge that I am trying to give to you is not to pursue happiness, but is to pursue Christ at all costs. If you are young, may the pursuit of God be your motivation, be your direction in life, may be the center of your life and ministry. Pursue Christ in and all of his teaching. When now you have energy, trust me, pursue it. When you are getting older, it's harder because life gets tougher. Be consistent in following Christ. Ask yourself one big question. What is feeding your heart and your mind? Is it the Word of God or the social media you have been following? And for us who are slightly older than the young people in our midst, how is your following of Christ? Is there a purpose, a vision, or a direction of your life? May the pursuit of God be the anchor that you barely need, be the anchor that you are praying for, that you will pursue Christ all of your life. To set an example for the younger ones in your midst, to follow and to emulate. If the younger ones only see you pursuing happiness and not godliness and not God himself, they will follow suit as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father Lord, we pray and ask that will you be with us this morning? Challenge our hearts through your word. Lord, let our hearts be focused on you and you alone and not and nothing else, so that our heart is pure to be used by you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we prepare the hymn of response.